Chapter 21. It was mid-morning when Randy and Denise finally arrived back at the Horse Head Inn, and Randy was exhausted. He wanted nothing more than to hand over this halfling, who seemed to have increased in weight to that of a hippo in his fatigued arms, instruct the others not to harm him, and fall into a nice, deep coma. To avoid needlessly waking anyone up, Randy decided to enter through the gap in the back wall rather than knock on the door. The precaution proved unnecessary. As soon as he entered, he had three sets of red, sleep-starved eyes glaring at him.
"Morning," said Randy.
"Don't you mornin' us," said Frank. "Where the hell have you two been all night?"
"We was in the woods. Y'all ain't had to wait up for us."
"What is this place? A fucking boarding school? It's nice that y'all care so much about us, but we can take care of ourselves."
"No," said Frank. "We don't, and you can't."
His eyes passed to the halfling in Randy's arms.
"Who's the little girl?"
Randy laid the body down on an empty table and shook some blood into his arms.
"He's a boy. Well, a man, really. He's one of them little fellers. Not like you, but the other kind. You know, like Tim."
Frank nodded.
"A halfling. But who is he?"
"Well, he says his name is..."
"Well, I'll tell you who the fuck he is,"
said Denise. She pointed a fat little finger at the halfling on the table.
"That right there is fucking Mordred. Signed, sealed, delivered. You're welcome."
Everyone at Frank's table suddenly seemed a bit more awake. Everyone except for Frank, anyway, who just looked a little more tired and annoyed.
"Forgive me for being cranky and skeptical, but I didn't get much sleep last night. Do you have any evidence at all to support this theory of yours?"
"Go on," said Denise. "Tell them about the red robes of neutrinos? Nutrition?"
"Neutrality,"
said the bald man to Frank's right. Randy hadn't introduced himself to him the night before on account of him seeming moody and standoffish, but now he looked to be wide awake and open to engagement.
"Did he claim to be wearing the red robes of neutrality?"
"You bet your shiny bald ass he did,"
said Denise. Frank stifled a yawn.
"I'm running on 2 hours of sleep here, Stuart. You want to clue me in? What the hell are the red robes of neutrality?"
"It's from the Dragonlance novels I read when I was a kid," said the bald man, Stuart. "In the world of those books, wizards wore different colored clothes to match their alignment. Good wizards wore white, evil wizards wore black, and neutral wizards wore the red robes of neutrality."
"Why?"
asked Denise.
"Why what?"
"Why'd they wear colors to match their alignment?"
"I don't know. Think of it like a uniform, I guess."
Denise's face betrayed no sudden clarity.
"What if they was an evil wizard, but they didn't want nobody to know they was evil on account of they wanted to earn somebody's trust in order to portray them later? Could they wear a white robe then?"
"What? Maybe. I don't know. Who gives a shit? The point is, he blew his cover by making a reference to books that don't exist here."
"He hasn't blown shit," said Frank.
"What are you talking about?"
said Stuart.
"The Red Robes of Neutrality are clearly a reference to Dragonlance. What are the odds that some random halfling wizard would come up with that exact turn of phrase to describe his clothes?"
Frank yawned.
"Not too long if the person who created him was a fantasy nerd."
He looked around the room at all the sleeping bodies littering the floor.
"Ask any of the halflings here, for instance, where their characters are from, and chances are they'll say the Shire. Mordred cut some corners when he made this world. You know there's a tavern in the Shallow Grave District called Mos Eisley?"
Stuart lowered his head.
"I've heard rumors."
Randy frowned.
"So this ain't Mordred?"
"The fuck he ain't!"
shouted Denise.
"Shh!"
said the heavyset woman on Frank's left.
"Keep your voice down. People are trying to sleep in here."
"Don't you hush me, Mama Cass. I got a nice big chicken bone you can choke on."
While the big girl was clearly enraged at being likened to Mama Cass, though now that Denise mentioned it, the resemblance was uncanny, the others at the table appeared more confused, as if wondering what big chicken bone Denise had been referring to. Randy would have enjoyed watching her try to squirm her way through an explanation, but she was already near her breaking point, and he still had one last bit of evidence to present.
"There was also the matter of Little Red Riding Hood," said Randy.
Frank turned his attention from Denise to Randy.
"What's that?"
"Well," said Randy, "it's a story about this little girl who's taken this basket of goodies to her grandma's house when she gets approached by this smooth-talking wolf and..."
Frank stopped him with raised hands.
"We are familiar with the story, but what does it have to do with the unconscious halfling on the table?"
"When we first happened upon him, he was way up in a tree, dressed as he was,
Little Red Riding Hood was the first thing to pop into my head.
That's completely meaningless, said Frank. You've already established that his clothing is an allusion to a completely different fictional character.
You ain't let me finish yet, said Randy. The whole reason he was up in the tree to begin with was on account of there was this wolf barking up at him.
Frank sighed. The big bad wolf. I get it.
Man, you don't even know, said Denise. This was the biggest, baddest goddamn wolf you've ever seen. I'm telling you, that thing was bigger than a horse.
Stuart shrugged. Sounds like a dire wolf. Some animals in this world are bigger versions of their mundane, real-world counterparts. You get used to it.
This weren't just no big wolf, Denise insisted. It was blacker than Satan's asshole and had glowing red eyes.
The big girl raised her eyebrows.
A fiendish dire wolf. That is pretty unusual. So how did you two heroes manage to escape a fiendish dire wolf?
Randy and Denise looked at each other. Then Randy looked back up at the big girl.
I just poked him with my sword and he ran off.
Bullshit.
Denise pointed at the big girl.
Are you calling my friend a liar, Large Marge?
My name is Rhonda, Pissbeard the Pirate.
I believe him, said Stuart. A paladin wouldn't lie.
Randy may be queerer than a barrel of faggots, said Denise, but he ain't no liar.
Denise, said Randy.
Denise shrunk back under the weight of all the awake eyes in the room focused on her.
Forget I said that last part.
Randy's heart burned as everyone shifted their attention to him. It was like all of their eyes were magnifying glasses, concentrating the sun's light on him at the same time.
Is this really true?
Asked Frank. Randy lowered his head, then lifted it again to look Frank straight in the eye.
I don't rightly know what a barrel of faggots even means, but yes, I am a homosexual.
Frank rolled his eyes and even cracked a little smile.
I can assure you that no one here gives even the tiniest hint of a fuck about that. I was talking about the wolf story. You just poked it with your sword?
I was scared, said Randy.
I ain't never stabbed nothing before.
Nothing but buttholes,
Denise muttered. Once again, every eye in the room focused on Denise, not one of them betraying any sign of amusement. Denise looked at the floor.
Sorry.
The Little Red Riding Hood connection is tenuous at best, said Frank, though a timid, fiendish direwolf raises some suspicion. That, along with the red robes thing, is certainly enough to warrant further investigation. You did right by bringing him in.
He looked over at the halfling.
Knocking him out might have been a little excessive, though. Did you at least try to coerce him peacefully at first?
We ain't laid a hand on him, said Denise. At least, not until he went and passed out on his own.
Frank, Rhonda, and Stuart exchanged some uncomfortable glances. Frank finally broke the confused silence.
You say he passed out without any provocation?
Randy nodded.
We ain't provocated shit, said Denise.
Stuart frowned.
I can't think of any game-related reason why that should happen.
Frank sighed and glanced at the sleeping halfling.
This story is getting stranger and stranger. Well, I don't like it.
He looked up at Randy.
Is there anything else?
Randy patted the lump under his rough wool shirt.
There's one more thing. Frank rubbed his temples. Of course there is.
Randy pulled out the polished wooden stick and placed it in front of Frank.
This fell out of the tree he was hiding in,
Frank turned to Rhonda.
What can you make of it?
God damn, woman,
said Denise as Rhonda's eyes glowed with bright white light. Rhonda stared at the stick for a full minute before her eyes returned to normal.
I picked up a powerful aura of conjuration magic.
Powerful enough to summon a fiendish direwolf?
Asked Stuart.
Possibly. I could cast an identify spell to know for sure, but it will take time and the components are expensive.
Stuart looked at the sleeping halfling.
Don't bother. I think I know what happened. We need to tie him up. What's your theory?
Asked Frank.
Mordred follows these two hillbillies into the woods.
Hey!
Objected Randy and Denise. Stuart ignored them.
While they're screwing around doing whatever, he climbs into a tree, summons the wolf, and commands it to attack him until it is struck with a weapon, at which point it is to run away.
Why? Asked Frank. What would be the point?
Stuart shrugged.
Maybe he wanted to be brought back here to infiltrate the Horsehead Inn.
Frank shook his head.
If Mordred wanted to infiltrate the Horsehead, he wouldn't bother screwing around with wolves and wands. He'd just knock on the door and say, Hi, I'm Bernie from Milwaukee. I got sent here a few days ago.
Well, then maybe he's testing the new recruits, running auditions to replace his horsemen. I don't know what he's up to, but I can't think of any other reason that these two aren't currently little piles of fiendish direwolf shit in the woods.
And how do you explain him passing out for no reason?
I don't know, said Stuart.
I'm not claiming to have all the answers. All I'm saying is that we've got some pretty compelling evidence that... Wait, where'd he go?
Randy looked at the table he'd set the halfling on. It was bare. Before panic could set in, he heard a thud and a grunt behind him. Denise stood over Wister, who was groaning on the floor and cradling his nuts. Wister flipped over, pushed himself to his knees, and was about to make a break for it when Denise kicked him hard in the ass, sending him face first into the floor.
Where the fuck do you think you're going, Frito?
She jumped on the halfling's back and put him in a chokehold.
What did you call him?
Asked Rhonda.
Let go!
Wister forced the words through his constricted throat.
Frito, said Denise. You know, like the midget with the ring in the movies.
That's Frodo.
Please, stop!
Maybe I got him mixed up with that guy from The Godfather.
Rhonda shook her head.
That's Frodo.
Can't breathe!
The Mexican painter lady with the unibrow?
Frida Kahlo.
Denise let Wister's once again unconscious body drop to the floor.
Well then, who the fuck is Frito?
That's a corn chip.
Denise looked thoughtfully at the floor, then raised her head again.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Did you have to choke him to the point of passing out again?
Asked Stuart.
We could have questioned him just now.
Sorry, said Denise. Force of habit.
Stuart looked at Frank.
At least we now know he's a flight risk. All the more reason to tie him up and keep him under guard in the cellar until we can get a definitive answer, don't you think?
Frank frowned.
We don't know it's Mordred. What if we're wrong? What if we keep him tied up in the cellar for a week, and then we find out he's not Mordred? What do we do with him then? Turn him loose so he can run to the authorities?
It's the only lead we've got, said Stuart. And I think it's a strong one. Rhonda, what do you think?
I don't think I want to be around when everybody wakes up and finds out that we probably caught Mordred and then decided to let him go.
I didn't say we should let him go, said Frank.
Then how do you propose we contain him?
Asked Stuart.
The walls in this place aren't even finished. And let's not forget that he's a spellcaster. Who knows what kind of magic he could use to slip away unnoticed? We need to keep his arms restrained so that he can't use magic, and we need someone on him around the clock to make sure he doesn't try anything.
Frank put his elbows on the table and cradled his head in his hands.
I just don't know.
Don't stress yourself out about it, said Rhonda. This decision isn't yours to make.
Frank nodded his head in resignation. Randy cleared his throat.
If it's all the same to you folks, I'd like to be the one to keep watch over him. I know you's all good people, but I just want to make sure no harm don't befall him.
I'm afraid that's out of the question, my friend, said Frank.
And why's that?
Because you have somewhere else to be. Some gentlemen came by looking for you a little while ago. They banged on the door until we woke up.
Randy didn't like the sound of that at all.
Who was it? Don't nobody knows me here.
They were Kingsguard, said Frank. The king has requested a meeting with you, as you are the only known worshipper of the new god.
He smiled.
You are to report to the royal palace immediately.
Randy swallowed hard.
Oh, shit.